Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. It's a beautiful hymn. Beautiful, beautiful hymn. Okay, in regard to prayer, please be in prayer for my wife, my stepdaughter, my step-granddaughter, and they're all out. And so please be in prayer. We kept our granddaughter over yesterday and today, and I mean all day today. She was just hacking. I bet there wasn't 2 or 3 minutes between each hack. She just all day. And we took her to the doctor, and he gave her some cocaine, and that did it. That'll do it. And I told, yeah. And well, the thing about it was, they gave her cocaine, and I said to my my daughter-in-law, and I said, and y'all didn't want her to take whiskey? That's better than whiskey. What'd I say?
Cocaine.
Oh no, not cocaine! I'm not giving her my good stuff. No, codeine. Yeah, codeine. That was it. Yeah, codeine.
I thought you were serious there for a minute.
No, not cocaine. I'd be going to that doctor. he'd have people lining up all the way down the street. He'd pass that stuff out. Good grief. No. So let's be in prayer, if you will, for Judith and Julie and Mackenzie. So I asked the parents, I said, did y'all, were y'all into presidents? And they named, because the one daughter's named Madison, another one's Mackenzie. Yeah. And I thought, wow.
Mackenzie wasn't president, was
he? Sure.
McKinley.
McKinley. McKinsey? Cocaine. I'm leaving tonight.
You need your glasses and
hearing aids. Yeah, something. Let's get on to class here. We're going to talk about something I know about. And let's see, we need to be in prayer for Tish. We need to be in prayer for Nathan. Yes, sir.
My sister, she's having a lot of problems with her daughter. It's going to come to a crisis here before long, and just a lot of details, but she needs.
And how old is Alicia now?
18.
18. Okay.
And there's a second request. I have a coworker. I don't know if he's a believer. His name is Scott.
Scott.
He and his wife went to sleep on Monday night. Tuesday morning he woke up and she didn't. And she was in good health. They don't have no idea what happened.
They went where?
To sleep.
Oh, went to sleep one night. Okay.
Yes.
And she didn't wake up.
She died in her sleep.
Wow.
41.
How?
41.
41.
Wow.
And they don't know?
No, she was in good health. No, have no idea what happened. Yes, he is.
That's got to be terrible for him.
Yeah, he couldn't. I didn't talk to him, but one of the secretaries did, and he couldn't say 3 or 4 words about.
Oh my goodness, no! Wow. Well, we'll be in prayer for Scott, and my goodness, absolutely. That's.
I don't know. He goes to Methodist Church in McKinney. Don't know.
Wow. Start doing it's really terrible. Wake up, your wife dead right there. Okay, let's see. Any other prayer requests? All right, let's get ready for our study tonight. We're just in a wonderful study, and I'm going to take some of the things we've been doing here to the youth winter camp tomorrow, Friday night. Oh, I have one more prayer request. Pray for a heat wave in southern Oklahoma about Friday evening around 5 o'clock.
Are you up-tending or are you being cabins?
I'm not sure.
I know for a big whack, we know we got to pray for you because you don't like that. You like
no.
Home.
In fact, I talked to my son-in-law this morning, this evening. And he's got an old army type of overnight sleeping bag. Boy, if he does, that's great. Those are super. Man, you don't even sleep with your clothes on and none of that thing. You take your clothes, put them in there, and dress underneath it during the, in the morning. But you don't sleep with clothes on under those things. So I hope he does have that. And brought up. Oh man, please! It brought up a lot of memories. I was telling him. Of course, in the Army, we had to do that a lot, and when I was on the general staff, we'd be out there and freezing to death, and I came home, and my family just wanted to go. I got out in August. They just wanted to go down to Galveston and spend a couple of nights out, and I said, no, thank you. I'm not into camping anywhere, anytime, for a long time, and I'm still not into camping. I mean, I haven't learned where people get off on the bugs crawl around underneath you, the snakes crawl around, water comes flowing through your tent, and birds and bears, and I don't know, man, I miss something on this camping out stuff. And my idea of roughing it is a motel room that has black and white TV and no room service. That's rough as I want to get. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our study by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come together tonight, fellowship together, laugh together, have fun, fulfill the various functions of our local assembly, and then Heavenly Father, to open your text and let your Spirit open our eyes to things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes tonight to more understanding of the conditions of answered prayer, fruit bearing, and abiding in Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are in John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, maybe you will, maybe you won't, and my words, my doctrines, my teachings abide in you, ask whatever you wish, whatever you wish, no condition here, and it shall be done. There are some people who say that even if God says no to your prayers, at least he's answered them. He said no. But this says, I'll do them. I will do them. So that's a pretty stout verse. And what we're looking at now is his word abiding in you. And we're spending time last time and how much time you have to spend each day, each month, each week and in the word. And all I said was, I'm not going to get legalistic about it. But don't fool around with God. And tonight, I want to look at some of the benefits of having doctrine abiding in you. So, if you have doctrine abiding in you, what are some of the benefits? And of course, point one is going to be what? Answered prayer. Answered prayer, our passage. So point one, in our passage, John 15:7, it virtually affects your prayer life. You have his word abiding in you. Two conditions of answered prayer. You abiding in Christ. His word abiding in you. And it affects your prayer life. To have doctrine in your soul. Two. When doctrine abides in your soul. And you allow the Spirit to apply that doctrine by faith in the Holy Spirit. Produces confidence in life. Not a confidence in you. Not a confidence in circumstances, but a confidence in God. Look at Job chapter 5 a moment. Let's go back to one of our fun books, the book of Job chapter 5. All right, Job chapter 5. And let's start reading at verse... Let's start reading at verse 24. Job 5, verse 24. And you will know that your tent is secure, for you will visit your abode and fear no loss. You will know also that your descendants will be many, and your offspring as the grass of the earth. You will come to the grave in full vigor, like the stacking of grain in its season. Behold, this we have investigated, and thus it is. Hear it and know it for yourself. So there's confidence if doctrine is abiding, and if you know these things. If you don't know them, it's not going to happen. And then let's look at Hebrews. Let's scroll our way over to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. And how do you throw away your confidence? Not living in that word, having that word abide in you, and therefore you throw away your confidence. Okay, let's look at point four. These are results of having his word, his teaching, abiding in you. His teaching abiding in your soul produces an attitude in your soul that will guide you. It will give you a divine viewpoint about life and all that goes on in your life. Things happen in your life. What's going on? I don't know what's going on. I'll just go with it and all this type of thing. Well, people, if you have the Word abiding in you, it will give you a divine perspective of what's going on in your life. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And by the way, on your prayer list, put me on it. Put my throat on it. I'm gonna start attacking this throat thing. And I'm gonna solicit your prayers for guidance and the doctor and what I do, just all that, each step of the way. I've got to attack this. I'm tired. So let's I'll solicit your prayers. Just tired of it. Not tired physically, just tired of it. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that. Isaiah 55. Let's look at verses 7 through 9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. People, we're not going to know his thoughts if we don't have his word abiding in us. That's all there is to it. This isn't something that's just already sitting inside a total depravity body or a totally depraved mind. This is outside of us. Got to get it inside. We've already studied how you do this through the filling of the Holy Spirit, and teaching and listening to teaching of the Word. So we got a jazz group over here. All right. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. We're looking at the attitude that having His Word abiding in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We want to look at verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. People, it's amazing how, well, some people, well, I can't be in Bible class all the time or even three times a week, but boy, I can turn on that TV night after night after night and get world viewpoint. I can get worldly speculations. And they give me false ideas and false hopes and lust and all this stuff going on. So that's what it's talking about here. So let's continue reading. Verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So this is what happens when the Word is abiding in you. And you're abiding in Christ. His Word is abiding in you. You start wanting to reflect His glory, who and what He is, as far as your life is concerned. Point five. His doctrine abiding in your soul orients the believer to the plan of God. Orients the believer to the plan of God rather than to your own plans. To God's plan. My plan is that this doesn't happen. My plan is that everything goes smoothly. My plan, no illnesses, no sickness, no problems in life, none of this, none of that. Well, let's see what His plan is, and we orient to that. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, and we want to look at verses 3 and 4. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. The steadfast mind that is set on thee, you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in thee. See, there's the word, faith, trusting. There's the kicker. Trust in the Lord. Continually. Forever is continually. For in the Lord God, we have an everlasting rock. See, it all starts with us keeping our mind stayed on Him. Then He, in turn, will keep it in perfect peace. Because He trusts. He that is a believer, trust in Him. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. All right, in that respect, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Familiar verse. Remember, we're looking at how if you have doctrine in your soul, it orients to the plan of God rather than your own plans. Let's look at Romans 8:28. For we know, that is if you have the doctrine in your soul, that God causes all things. May look like a disaster to you, but all things to work, that means the mechanism of it, the machinery of it, together for good. Now that is for His good, not your good, but for His good. To those who love God, to those, what is that? That's filling of the Spirit. So you've got to abide in Christ, His Word abide in you, and He does something where no matter what happens in our life, causes things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, and we're all called. We're all called. Now whether or not we're in line with His purpose or not, depends on whether or not you're abiding in Christ, and His Word is abiding in you. Point six. His teaching, abiding in the soul, stabilizes the soul in difficulties of life. Stabilizes the soul in difficulties of life. Romans 8:28 would be very good on that. But let's look at James 1. James 1:8. James 1:8. James 1:8. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay? Double-minded man is a person who is a believer, but his thinking is flesh. He's double-minded. He's a believer in Christ, but his thinking is not there. So he's a double-minded person. Point seven. Doctrine abiding in the soul is the basis of the Holy Spirit giving divine guidance in fulfilling the plan of God for your life. All of these passages could be interrelated. Romans 8:28 again. The Isaiah passage again. But here we have, let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. Romans 12, 2 and 3. Alright. Doctrine abiding, the teaching of Christ abiding in your soul is the basis of the Holy Spirit giving divine guidance and fulfilling the plan of God. Now, what I'm going to show you is how a lot of these verses will mesh together in how God answers our prayer. So let's just take this. The double-minded. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Flesh and the thinking of Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Thinking in the mind and the flesh thinking and the mind of Christ. They are not the mind of Christ, but the teachings of Christ. And you're double-minded and you stay over here. So you're going to be in trouble. Absolutely. So what we're going to see is like in this one, in this point, if you have this is faith teaching in you, it's a basis for divine guidance, fulfilling the plan of God. Okay, if I'm going to fulfill the plan of God, doesn't it make sense that He's going to answer your prayer? Yeah. If He's going to work all things together for good, is He going to answer your prayer? Yeah. So all of these tie in with God answering our prayer. Verse 7 deals with God answering prayer. That's what we're looking at. Okay, let's look at Romans 12, 2 and 3. Do not be conformed to this world, that'd be the double-minded man, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? Putting in the thinking, the teaching of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ. That you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's, He's going to answer prayers under that. Verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So, if you want to understand God's plan for your life, what God is doing. Some people are too arrogant, they're out of the plan. Some people are too much in the world and they're out of the plan. But if you have His doctrine abiding in you, His teaching abiding in you, then you're going to be in His plan. Your prayers are going to be according to His plan, and therefore He's able to answer those prayers. Point 8. His doctrine abiding in the soul is the basis of the Holy Spirit causing you to abide in Jesus Christ. See, it's like a circle. The more His Word abides in you, the more you abide in Christ. The more you abide in Christ, the more you abide in His Word. So it's just this circle. The more His Word abides in you, His thinking abides in you. If I am in Christ, His thinking is abiding in me. It's just a circle. And it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, spiraling out into the thrust of our life. So doctrine, His thinking abiding in the soul, is the basis of the Holy Spirit causing you to abide in Christ, be occupied with Christ, and revealing Christ in your life by loving as He loved. Let's look at Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. Boy, this verse is so powerful. But that I may know Him, right? The more we have His teaching in us, the more we're going to know Him. The more you know the thinking of your husband, the more you know your thinking of your wife, the more you know them. The more you are can be in one with them. Okay? So the more I know Him, that I may know Him, how do we know Him? By having His Word in us. The power of His resurrection. That's life. We can say the power of His life. And the fellowship. So we have the know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship. So we have knowing Him, power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering. And that means we're going to suffer in life, people. We're going to suffer in life. Being conformed to his death. His death is the death on the cross. So this is what the knowing him and the fellowship with him. We're going to see more on the suffering with him in a few moments. Let's look at Ephesians 3:19. Go back to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Just another powerful, powerful verse. To know the love of Christ. How do we know the love of Christ? By abiding in him, having his word abiding in us, studying his word, having his word into us. That tells us about how he loved, which surpasses knowledge. So this to me is so beautiful. Know the love of Christ, but let me tell you something, it surpasses knowledge. It surpasses your understanding. You'll never grasp it totally, completely. It's beyond understanding. And what I love to hear about this, many years ago I found out, you can't define love. Love, the love of God, defies defining. Once you have defined love, you have confined it. It's like trying to define God. If you define God, you've confined him to your definition. He is beyond that definition. The best that you can do is the old chart and just have it go out into infinity. Because it's just beyond it. So you don't want to confine his love by trying to define his love. So, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Okay? What does this do? It tells us how to be filled up with the fullness of God. Have his love in you. That's how it happens. Alright? There's one more passage. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Used to be an old hymn. We don't sing it, do we? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Is it in our hymnal? Yeah. That's just a beautiful hymn. We grew up singing that one, didn't we? Yeah. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. Now, people, this is what happens to us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, that he lived by faith, who for the joy set before him. Now, people, we have joy set before us after death. So what if the love of Christ causes you to suffer? What if the love of Christ causes you to have to give up some money you didn't want to give up? What if the love of Christ calls on you to love and to do something for somebody you don't want to, you don't like or something? What if you have to suffer? What if your plans don't work out? What happens then? Well, it's nothing compared to eternity. What's that compared to eternity? I had this money set aside to buy a new TV, but this believer needs it. Not just people, you got to understand when I use that kind of illustration, I'm not saying somebody else needs it so they can buy a fishing boat. I'm talking about they need it just for life's purpose. John Henson and I were talking today about 1 John 3:16, my favorite verses in the Bible. We know love by this, he laid down his life for us. That's where we'd like it to stop. Well, amen, amen. That's wonderful. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. Well, that doesn't mean you die. Doesn't mean that the only time you'll get to fulfill that verse is one time. Because once you lay down your life, you're dead. Doesn't mean that. Lay down your life means to lay down the importance of your own life. Well, this is important to me. You lay that down. This believer is more important than I am for one another. So this is the whole scope that we're dealing with in this passage. So having His Word in us has full, many, many results, and we're not through yet. Point nine. His teaching abiding in the soul leads to obtaining the goal that God the Father has set for every believer. I just want to check one thing here. Okay. It leads to fulfilling the goal that God the Father has set for people. Not only does He, when we say, oh, God has a plan for you. Okay. People, what that means, He has a goal. He has a goal for you. He has an objective out there for you. And so let's look at Philippians 3 again. Only this time we'll read more than we did before. It's passages we didn't read in Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained it, or I have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which lie behind and reaching forward to the things which lie ahead, I press on word to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Far better than any Super Bowl ring, any Super Bowl trophy, far better than anything we could have on earth is this prize that God has for us. And if we get so involved in the world, we see things on the TV, if that's all we're watching, and we just get involved in the world. I don't have this, and I have that, and I don't... People, this is just nothing compared to the prize that He has set before us. So point nine, doctrine in the soul, teachings of Christ in the soul, leads to obtaining the goal that God the Father has set before us. And please remember, it's not in time, it's in eternity. It's not in time, it's in eternity. And point ten... Point 10. Want to talk about eternity? Much more about our eternal status is dependent on doctrine in the soul. Now, did you hear what I said? Much about our eternal status is dependent on doctrine in the soul now, abiding in us for the Holy Spirit to use. Now, we already know this from our study in Revelation, dealing with the various rewards, the various crowns, the effect that that has. Let's look at a few passages on this, taking time, eternity, how having the mind of Christ and the thinking of, not the mind, but the thinking of Christ, the teachings of Christ inside of us, how's that going to affect our state in eternity? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, and we're going to read 9 through 13. Hebrews 11, 9 through 13. By faith, he, Abraham, lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is just astounding what it's saying about Abraham here. He lived in tents, but he knew that this great city was coming before him. Verse 11, by faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Verse 12, therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, and that's Abraham, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is upon the seashore, all those who died in faith, without receiving the promise, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed, and they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And people, that's what we are. We talk so much about these illegal aliens. People, we're illegal aliens. We're aliens here on earth. Our home isn't here. But the more that we have this understanding in our soul, thinking of Christ in our soul, he endured the suffering of the cross because he knew we can endure these sufferings because we know what's lying on the other side of this whole thing. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Just go over one book. James chapter 1. James 1:25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Blessing is not necessarily here on earth, people. This blessing is in eternity future, not now. Let's look at James chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So people, all we have to do is just understand the rewards are not here. Rewards, judgment seat of Christ, and in eternity. Now, most of these points we've looked at deals with the benefits for you of having the thinking of Christ in your soul. But if you have the thinking of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the doctrines of Christ, you're going to care about others. Doctrine in your soul encourages you to encourage others. Let's look at Romans 15:14. To encourage one another, encourage others. Romans 15. Romans 15:14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, that's having his doctrine in you, and able also to admonish or to encourage one another. That is to encourage another believer. It's what you and I can do when we have his word in us. Point 12. These are all results of the scriptures in you. The thinking of Christ, the teachings of Christ. Teachings of Christ in the soul preserves the believer through life. It will preserve you from being cast down in your soul. So many people just heavy laden with shame, with guilt, with frustration, with having nothing in life. Let's look at Psalm 61:7. Psalm 61:7. Psalm 61:7. Has our word in it, by the way. Psalm 61:7. He will abide, is our word, before God forever, appoint love and truth, and they may preserve him. People, his love, his truth. If you abide in his love and his word is abiding in you, it'll preserve you through disasters. It'll preserve you, keep you from just going off of, as it were, the deep end. And there was an article in the paper this week in the Dallas Morning News about children suicide, not teen suicide, children suicide. And I read any age suicide. And in my soul, I just go, oh, if they'd just come and stay 3 or 4 days with me before they did it. And then they can go do it if they want. But it's just amazing to me. But for a child or a young person, teenager, I just was having too much fun. Now, I know I lived in a different time. It's almost like a whole different age than what they live in today. And I know that. But it's just a shame that so much is put on our children, on our teens, that they would even consider doing such a thing. Point 13. One of the conditions of being a true follower of Christ, is to have His doctrine abiding in you. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews, this is, 31. John 8:31. Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." Now, I don't want to take a time to do all of this, but here he's saying, if you abide in my word. In John 15:7, it's what? His word abiding in you. So, for his word to abide in you, you have to abide in his word. You have to abide. For his teaching to abide in you, you have to abide in his teaching. You have to take up residence in the understanding and the absorbing of biblical truth related to Christ, especially. All right, finally, point 14. The way to abide in Jesus Christ is by having his word abide in you. The way to abide in Christ, and that's the first condition in our study of answered prayer, to abide in me, is by having his word abiding in you. John 8:31, which we just read. But let's look at John 15:10. We haven't come to it yet, but we've got to take it in its place here in our study. John 15:10. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, okay, what are his commandments? Faith and love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And let's look at 1 John 2:24. 1 John 2, verse 24. You're going to be okay, hon? Okay. All right. 1 John 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you. See the word let? It isn't there. You've got to let it. You've got to make that decision. Let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. It's the beginning of Christ's teaching. Which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. People, this is a pull it all together verse. I mean, look at this verse. As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. It's the beginning of Jesus Christ's teaching, like the new commandment. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son. So how are we going to abide in the Son? Letting his word abide in you. And in the Father. So this pulls it all together for us. Now, let's go to John 15. John 15:7. It's time now for the second part of the verse. We lost a few minutes at the beginning. Let's just at least get going into this. If you abide in me by the Holy Spirit and by the teaching of Christ in your soul, and my words abide in you by abiding in the Spirit, listening to the teaching of His Word by the Holy Spirit, consistency in Bible study. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Two conditions of answered prayer in this verse. Two conditions of answered prayer in this verse. One, abiding in Christ. Do you know how to abide in Christ? Walking by faith in the Spirit. Consistency in the assembly. Two, His words abiding in you. Consistency in hearing the Word of God and believing the Word and letting the Word guide you in life. Whatever you wish, whatever you desire, here's the kicker. Here's the kicker, people. For what are you going to ask? For what if you're going to ask? Now, let's just have fun. You're sitting there watching the Super Bowl. That's your total thought now. Well, what are you going to ask? Boy, I want my team to win. I want my team to make a first down. I want my team to make a touchdown. We're so absorbed in it. It's there. It's what it's all about. And we're with others. And boy, you just get involved in it. It's what you're going to ask. You watch TV. And it's all about sex. It's all about cars. It's all about things. Well, what are you going to ask for? You're going to ask for cars and sex and things. If you're involved, let's just say things that are not sinful, just work and work and work and work and work. What are you going to ask? Give me wisdom. Give me success. Give me prosperity. Give me this and this work. It's what you're occupied with. It's what you're going to ask. Whatever it is. Even if it's your family. You're just totally occupied with it. This is what your whole thing is about. Maybe that's not what God's about. So it's what is going on in your mind is what we're going to ask. What do you think you would ask for? If you're abiding in Christ and His Word is abiding in you, what do you think you would ask for? You would ask for the things that Christ asked for, wouldn't you? If you're truly abiding in Christ, and His Word is abiding in you, you're going to ask the things that He would ask for. That's the whole secret of this passage. If you're abiding in Christ, His Word abiding in you, what do you think will be your desire? People, you've got to stay with context, context, context. What is the context? Bearing fruit. This is what is important to Christ. This is what is essential to Christ. And why is this essential to Christ? I'm going to give this to you. We'll come back to this next week. It's under point four next week. But let me just give it to you. Why is this vital to Christ? Us bearing fruit. Look at verse 8. Look at John chapter 15, verse 8. Why? Tell me why. Why is Christ so concerned about us bearing fruit? What does bearing fruit do? Glorifies the Father. That's what glorifies the Father. So if we're in Christ, His Word, Jesus Christ's teachings in us, we're going to be asking for things that will glorify the Father. What will glorify the Father? Our fruit bearing. When was the last time you prayed? And myself included, about bearing fruit. What kind of fruit? What is this fruit? We need to look at all of this. But when's the last time? Father, let me suffer for another believer's sake, benefit. Father, give me the opportunity to depart with some money to help another believer. Father, whatever it may be, when's the last time we prayed that? Most of us, generally, It's about us. And I'm guilty. It's about my family now, my children, my grandchildren, and my new mother-in-law, and all of these, and people in this church, and I just pray. But, boy, I wonder if our prayers might change if we get occupied with being in Christ, His Word in us. What's going to be prominent on our mind? What's going to be the great issue in our mind? And what's the great issue to Jesus Christ is fruit bearing. Why is fruit bearing important to Christ? Because it glorifies the Father. That's why. So we'll start here next week, and I'm going to ask your prayers this weekend, because this is going to be what I'm going to be dealing with the young people. They wanted to talk about, they didn't call it fruit bearing, but they called it about serving. And I'm going to try it, all of this. This has been beautiful for them to hear, and get, we can get this down now with them. Yes. The form of it. We're going to come to all of that. We're going to come to all that. But see, a lot of times, just to give you an example on that, Father Scott, if you think about it and pray about it, and I'm just saying, just throwing this out, what if the Holy Spirit gave you the idea while you're praying, I need to send him a card and tell him some things? No, I don't even know him. I can't. So what have you just done? You've just quenched the Holy Spirit. Father, I hope the church gets somebody, some teachers. They need teachers. Well, not me. Not, that isn't my prayer. See? My prayer is that they get somebody else to teach. So if we're praying in the area of fruit bearing, He may put it on us to do it. And to actually do. People want to know what quenching the Spirit is. Grieving the Spirit is sin. Right out sin. We sin, we grieve Him. Quenching is when He reaches out to us and says, and I'm just using it for example, send Scott a card with some verse or something in it, and I go, no. It's like when a man comes home from work, his wife is amorous toward him, and he just, no. Well, she pulls back. She's quenched. And he's going to sleep on the couch that night. But he's quenched. And that's what quenching the Holy Spirit is. It's saying no to His aggressiveness to us. His leading us. That's what quenching the Spirit is. Grieving is sin. That's easy. Quenching the Spirit is a little more tricky. There you go. There you go. There you are. That's it. That's fruit bearing. And what we'll see, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to John 14. You'll do greater works. This is not left Christ. This greater works verse in chapter 14 has not left him. And now he's telling them that greater works is the fruit. And we're going to have fun in verse 8, and as we get through at verse 7. So, okay. Any other questions? Okay, well, let's close in a word of prayer, and we'll pick it up right here. This is going to be fun. A little convicting of all of us. Heavenly Father, we just love Your Word. Last night, we were in Genesis 6. We were in the spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict, and demons, and half-man, half-angel, and all that. It's so exciting, and then we saw how You're in control of all things. Tonight, Father, we're in our own little lives, and fruit-bearing, and having the teaching of Your Son abiding in us. And Sunday morning, we're in the looking at sin, what this is, and justification, and all these things. Father, it's exciting to study Your Word. It's not at all boring. It's not at all tiresome. It's exciting. It takes us to so many different areas, so many different things, Father. And we just praise you for it. In your Son's precious name, amen.
Thank you.